Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Right, and you know all there is to know about everything, right, Brandon Walsh? It's no wonder those guys don't like you.
Everybody, this is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 20, A Competitive Edge. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Dear Aaron, eyeshadow, hope this doesn't make you blush.
But I've gone rouge to wish you a happy brush day. This is coming straight from the lip liners of your favorite podcast hosts, Sarah and Tara.
We're lashing you with polished birthday wishes.
Because thoughtful gestures like this are the foundation of a good friendship. And it's been sent, with a sea like perfume, by your boss lady, Kathy.
Nailed it.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Aaron. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
This is very exciting because it marks the occasion that someone has actually come back on this show from the Phantom Zone and been part of a story again.
So let's Brandon is physically abused twice.
So much. And it's amazing. And verbally abused as well. There's really something for everyone in this episode. So let's...
Steroids.
Let's get into it. First, the C story. The aforementioned Phantom Zone returner is Kyle. You may remember Kyle from such episodes as the one where Kelly was coming on to him super hard and he said he thought he might be gay. Now we're watching him because he's on the track team and he's got a secret and it's not the one you think. But first, he and Kelly have their own sort of storyline and it kicks off as, let's just play clip number 2.
All right, so when am I going to see you girls start working out?
I don't do that. I have a note.
That's not okay, show. That's not okay to say. We all know what the note is, and it's that if Donna looks like that and doesn't work out, it's because she may have an eating problem. Sorry, but there, I said it. So that's not really a great message to send to your teenage girl viewers, in my opinion.
Yeah, working out is cool.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but you have to do it.
Hey, look, Michelle Obama said it was cool. That's true. Let's just get behind Michelle.
She says a lot of things. Moving on.
Oh.
No, it's cool.
And we enjoy all of the things because she's a very big, strong lady.
Yeah.
She hurt us.
Yeah, true. Anyway, so Kyle is unbothered and goes on with his sales pitch to Kelly in clip number 3.
Wow, well, what about you, Kelly? I start jogging at 6:45.
That sounds a little too serious for me.
Oh, yeah, like you need your beauty sleep.
Bye, Kyle. He is so cute. You know, when you two were going out last summer, I thought for sure you'd become the new campus couple or something. Wow, we're still good friends.
Yeah. Then we get
hashtag stuff.
We actually get a flashback to the scene where Kyle tells Kelly that he thinks he may be gay. But
that's definitely one for the Cube Poo Hall of Fame. He's way better in this episode, but yeah, not.
He is. Although I love in that clip, how about you, Kelly? I go jagging at 6 a.m. Like, and just another one for the not originally from Los Angeles files. Yeah. That sounded like upstate New York to me, but anyway. Even though Kelly has the memory of Kyle telling her he is maybe gay, one person who does not know and is super jealous is Steve. So he watches Kelly and Kyle's interaction and judges them silently. The reason they are together is that they are both on the track team now, which we will get to. Later, Steve finds Kelly at the Peach Pit just as she's about to leave. And she tells him that she's getting up at 6 to go running with Kyle. Steve says, clip number 4.
You guys are doing it, aren't you?
Straight to the point.
I mean, at least he takes the silent judgment and immediately makes it spoken judgment.
He does.
I mean, yeah.
But anyway.
I prefer his, like, id-based weirdness to Brandon's judgmental, patronizing, paternalistic crap.
I absolutely agree. And again, credit to Kelly that she does not give up Kyle's secret. She just tells Steve he's a troglodyte and walks out. Later, Kelly does in fact go running with Kyle. She looks like she's hating every single second of it in the visual aids, as you can see. I just want to give a shout out to, because working out does suck, but shout out to Amanda Peet, who's the one celebrity that I saw at the gym in Equinox who looked like you're supposed to look when you work out, which is resentful and miserable.
Despairing.
And like you hate life. And when seeing that look on her face, I was like, oh, she's a person. It was nice to know.
I always liked her, and that makes me feel even better about her.
Yeah, she was also not dressed up like a gym bunny either. Like, she was in legit grubby clothes, which I also appreciated. Anyway, when they go running, Kyle tells Kelly that he's happy he gets to be himself with her, which is nice. However, I don't think the jogging is going to continue because she hates it. I don't blame her.
Yeah,
moving on. B story. Brenda gets conned. As we will recall, Brenda has her driver's license, but she is not the greatest driver. And we, in case we did forget, get a reminder of this as she's out driving and complaining with Cindy in clip number 5.
Oh, good, mister. Stop short to look at nothing. What a jerk.
It's okay, honey. It's green light.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, what were we talking about?
What a safe and sane driver you are.
Good. Carol Potter really convincingly makes it seem like she's about to be car sick all over the entire county because Brenda is such a bad driver. It's funny. Brenda is mad that Brandon won't let her drive his car and that he makes fun of her bad driving all the time. She wants Jim and Cindy to make him stop because she's actually gotten a lot better. And then Cindy has to tell her that she missed her turn. Comedy. Later, when Jim has come home, Brenda brings this up again in clip number 6.
So, in light of the fact that I am fully prepared to pay for all my expenses, I propose that I be allowed to drive Brandon's car whenever he's not using it. I think that's fair, right, Dad?
Well, I...
Great! Then it's settled. You guys can tell Brandon as soon as he gets home.
Well, sounds like a reasonable request.
No, it's not. Again, I hate to take...
No, it's not.
I hate to take Brandon's side, but he bought that car with money that he earned at his job. He has the right to say she's not allowed to drive it if he wants. It's his car.
And in what way is she fully prepared to pay for expenses? She got roped out of a commission by Deidre at a job she never goes to again.
Yeah.
What, are you selling underpants on the eBay that hasn't been invented yet? Fuck off.
Yeah. So after Brenda has left the room and Jim has said that this is a reasonable request, which we all agree it is not, Cindy quietly tells Jim maybe he should go driving with her before he starts making judgments like that. And then he sneezes and there's like a minor plot line about him having a cold in this episode, which like is impinges on nothing and affects nothing. And it's just like, seems like it's an excuse for James Eckhouse to do his like fake sneezing bit. I don't understand why he's sick in this episode. It makes no sense. It has nothing to do with
it. I guess Eckhouse was sick and or the giant blue bathroom robe of doom's agent called Darren Star and was like, get old Baffy in the, you know, 5 scenes or we're suing.
Perhaps.
That bathroom is so gigantic. Oh,
it
my
is,
God.
It is big. It looks warm though. Brandon comes home. Brenda pointedly looks at her parents too, so that they will bring up the issue of the use of his car. And then Brandon immediately agrees that it's okay with her, with him, if she drives it and it's for comedy. I don't know. I don't know why he caves, but whatever. She's thrilled. Later, Dylan is less thrilled in clip number 7.
Can't believe you caved on me, man. Huh? You're my last line of defense. What are you talking about? Look, if you want to let Brenda drive around you, Stang, that's one thing. But sooner or later, she's going to want to drive my Porsche. And I just don't think the relationship is that strong.
Again, you just say no. She doesn't have to drive your car. Why is this even an issue?
She's not insured for it. It's that simple. End of story.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Hide the keys.
Yeah. Well, anyway. All of this is, of course, laying the ground for work for what the main purpose of this storyline is, which is we cut to Brenda driving Brandon's car. David's in the backseat and leans forward to mess around with the radio. By the way, not okay. While he's doing that, the woman that's in the car in front of Brenda watches them in her rearview mirror. And when the light changes, she doesn't move and Brenda rear ends her. And they have this exchange, clip number 8.
I am so sorry. I didn't think my car was moving and suddenly, well, it was too late.
Don't worry. It'll be all right.
Well, I want you to know right up front that this was all my fault. I mean, completely my fault. I guess we're supposed to report it to the insurance company or the police or something?
Oh, well, I don't think that that'll be necessary.
Really?
Why should we? I mean, my bumper isn't damaged and your car just has that little ding.
That's my brother's car.
I'll bet he doesn't even notice.
Thanks for being so understanding.
Oh, please. Although I suppose we should exchange phone numbers in case either one of us wind up in traction.
I'll get a pen.
Okay.
It's suspicious how nice this woman is being, and yet Brenda notices nothing, of course.
Because Brenda.
Yeah. And when she says that, so then later, Brenda is at home with Donna, lamenting the situation. Donna tells her to play dumb, and just not bring anything up. Brenda claims she's a bad liar. Donna says she's a good driver, and then when Brenda gives her a look, she says, well, you're improving, which is kind of funny. But Brandon then comes home, and there's this whole setup for him commenting on the fact that he can't believe she got it home in one piece, so he really didn't notice. I have to give it up for the show. Just the not saying anything is probably what a dumb teenager would do, and what a dumb teenager named Tara Ariano did do when she drove her dad's Diplomat, do you remember those? The giant grandpa car, which we actually did buy from my great grandpa. And I was turning out of a parking lot when I was 18, I think, and hit a post and thought my dad wouldn't notice somehow, even though it was on the driver's side.
I
thought I would get away with it, I don't know.
I wanted that story to end. I turned a corner and hit a Diplomat.
I hit Vitold Rubinsky, yeah. And yeah, no.
Oh God.
Anyway, later everyone is in the kitchen goofing around, and things are about to go bad. In clip number 9.
See that, guys? I should have gone out for the basketball team.
Gee, I thought you went out for that team last year.
Gee, I thought you valued your life.
Oh, that's Kiefer Sutherland. Tell him that I'm a little busy.
What?
Hello, Kiefer.
Remember when people had crushes on Kiefer Sutherland, guys?
Mine was actually a bit more recent.
Oh.
I never understood the, like, 90s crush on him. The 24 crush I could get with. But.
Right.
Sarah's really into those Christmas tree tacklers.
Into those what?
Christmas tree tackle videos. Have you not seen that?
He just gets drunk and decides to jump on a Christmas tree in a hotel lobby. You haven't seen that video?
No,
oh,
what?
My God.
Oh my God, Sarah. I kind of want to pause this recording so you can go look it up, but I won't.
I've seen it.
Oh, you have? Oh, okay, sorry.
The crush is over now.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
The best part of that is that even though there are drunken videos that are like the biggest punchline of his career, he still is endorsing like Patron or something now. He's like doing liquor endorsements in a commercial.
There were also like the Inquirer pictures of him just like at a bar with his pants around his ankles, like reading the paper and sipping some whiskey. And he was like, what? And then someone like took a cell phone photo and the flash went off and he didn't care. I don't know. I kind of respected that he's like, so I get drunk sometimes. Fuck you. All right.
Gentlemen, to Weevil.
Right?
Yes. In fact, it is not Kiefer Sutherland on the phone. It is the accident lady, whose name is Rosemary. She's calling to ask for Brenda Walsh's father. And there are tearful recriminations in clip number 10.
The real reason I didn't say anything is because everyone already thinks I'm such a lousy driver.
Which you've just proved in spades.
Look, I didn't prove anything. Why do you think they call it an accident, Brandon?
I don't know, Bren. You're the expert.
Brandon?
Dad, do you see what I'm talking about?
Brenda, it's Brandon's car, and it's carried on my insurance. So you had an obligation to both of us to tell us what happened.
Look, I know. I'm sorry. I should have and I would have, but it practically didn't even seem like a real accident.
Brenda, this poor woman is describing a very serious case of whiplash.
Oh, it certainly didn't seem like that at the time.
Whiplash can take a while to show up.
If that's Kiefer, I'll just tell him to take his car straight over to the body shop.
I mean...
You drove drunk, dickwad. I'm not defending Brenda, but you don't talk. No talking.
Yeah, Jim's got it handled. She already has one dad, and it's not you. So, shutty. Although, it is his car. Moving on. The next day, we get some more hashtag stuff from Donna in clip number 11.
So, Brenda, did you get grounded for what?
Well, not exactly. My dad was pretty cool about the accident, although he did say it would be in the best interest if I didn't drive again until hell freezes over. Wow. That would take a long time. Psych.
So now there's a line of how dumb Donna gets to be. Whatever. That was a line that, she was telling Tina she should eat gum in the last episode, so I don't buy that psych, personally.
Yeah, no.
Later, Brenda and Dylan show up at Rosemary's house with a big floral arrangement. She comes to the door with, like, a comedy cervical collar on, of course. And she's still very nice, considering Brenda feels awful. Rosemary knows that she does, and they have this conversation in clip 12.
Oh, we just came to drop these off and see if there's anything that we can do for you.
Well, that depends on how much influence you have with your father.
What do you mean?
Well, with the lawsuit pending, I've been advised not to say anything.
Lawsuit? What lawsuit?
Don't worry about it. It sounds worse than it is. Although, with the insurance companies involved, I don't know how that's going to affect your driving record.
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry, Brenda. I shouldn't be saying anything.
Rosemary, please. You've got to tell me what's going on.
When I called your father, I was hoping that we could solve this privately with a modest amount that would basically pay for my physical therapy and a small amount for my pain and suffering.
Well, he should pay you. I mean, he knows the accident was my fault.
Well, I would have thought that, but he insists on going through his insurance company, and that really doesn't leave me with any choice but to... Oh.
You okay?
It's just a small spasm. It'll pass. Oh.
So considering that Dylan is immediately suspicious of Rosemary, and rightly so, I'm kind of surprised that he even drove Brenda over to talk to her, because I would think as the child of a convict or as person who has any sense, he would know it's not a good idea to go talk to this lady without your parents or at all.
Yeah, but since he's pot committed already, why not find a dictionary at Rosemary's house and be like, I just need to look up the word lawsuit and then drop it flat on the ground behind her super loud. And when she whips around, you're like, small spasm, gotta go.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps.
In fact, I thought that happened. I forgot what actually ensues.
Yeah, we will get there. So Rosemary basically enlists Brenda to talk Jim into dropping the lawsuit. And Brenda is sure that she can talk Jim into it because he's so reasonable. Cut to Brenda and Jim having a screaming conversation about Rosemary's ridiculous story. Brenda makes it about her shitty driving. And then when Brandon comes home, he sees Cindy and Dylan hiding out in the kitchen and they're both drinking tea. And you can see in the visual aids, it's such a funny moment that they're both looking down like, well, that's none of my business. So I did a composite of the two of them with Kermit sipping tea from the meme fame. You're welcome. Dylan reminds Brenda that Jim later, Dylan reminds Brenda that Jim had told her not to have any more contact with Rosemary when she asks him to drive her back over there. And Brenda says she's so determined to go and see her that she says she'll take the bus. Can you even imagine? I actually can't. It's a big pain in the ass to take the bus in LA. But Brenda does. And when she goes to Rosemary's and rings the doorbell, she hears music and goes to the window and sees Rosemary in, like, full spandex leotard finery doing Sweating to the Oldies. You can see Richard Simmons on the TV. It's actually pretty funny. She turns around, sees Brenda there. The jig is up. There's a gif of this moment in the visual aids. You're welcome. Later, Jim's on the phone with a lawyer talking about it and finds out that Rosemary is a scam artist. Lawyer says that she's had a history of initiating accidents like this, so this one probably wasn't even Brenda's fault. And then she sneezes because comedy, I don't know, again, with the cold that has no point. And finally, Brenda and Dylan show up at the Peach Pit. Everyone is, Dylan is excited or upset to report that she has driven her first Porsche. And then Steve says this, clip 13.
Surrender, Dorothy.
What?
What? I don't. What?
Surrender Dorothy.
What?
He really digs.
Surrender Dorothy.
He sinks
his teeth. How many times can I,
like,
do this to Dave?
All the way into it, which I kind of admire. Like, it almost makes it seem like it might be a weird ad lib, or like they had some kind of Ray Don Chong challenge on the set to, like, have somebody work it in where it would make sense, kind of, but not really. Anyway.
But what is that? Like, what is that expression usually used to mean? Did he confuse it with Bob's your uncle?
I don't know. I'm just glad we have it. Dave, please save that one for future use. It's clip 13. It's very
Surrender
important.
Dorothy.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Dick. So Brenda asks.
Well, you know these roid heads. They'll say anything.
It's true. Brenda asks Brandon for his keys. He, like, does 17 feints before he hands them over tiresomely. Asks Dylan for a ride home, and then she leaves to take Donna and David to the movies, and they button up this storyline in clip 14.
So, did she grind the gears? Every time.
You didn't have to let her drive your car, Dylan, and you probably shouldn't have, but whatever. And then there's a very loud crash. Everyone runs outside, assuming it's Brenda. But then she drives past totally fine, and it's just a dumpster picking up a dumpster. Or a truck picking it up, whatever. It's comedy, I guess. And
I think at least I fast forwarded through most of the storyline because the Brenda driving comedy is unbearable to me. It's almost as bad as LaVoyne. I don't know why.
It's so sexist.
That and the buzzsaw screeching she does whenever anyone has the temerity to point out that she sucks at driving. Like, not everyone's good at it. Get over it. But I think this is the last that we hear about this issue.
Oh, it is. They never saw her with keys in her hand again. Moving on to the A story. Brandon investigates steroids. There's a bunch of track and field business over the opening credits. One of the members of the track team at West Beverly is the guy who was Phoebe's diplomat boyfriend from season two of Friends who didn't speak English. Anyway, now Steve is a member of the track team. He's apparently on the relay team. Despite never having shown any interest in being in organized anything other than the hockey team in the previous episode. Anyway, Brandon
and volleyball and basketball.
All right, fine. I forgot about the basketball. You're right.
He's interested in wearing tank tops that are basically like,
he's interested in showing the world his navel. So you're right about that. Brandon interviews Coach Chapman about their chances, and happens to quote, mention, unquote, that he was on the track team in Minnesota. Coach Chapman is way too excited about this. Like, anyway. And then after their interview is done, Steve asks what the coach said about him and is preemptively mad about getting cut from another team. Like, maybe you're already on steroids because you're instantly furious, but whatever. And then Brandon ends up in the locker room where he is threatened with, well, clip 15.
Wedgie. 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 Wedgie.
I don't know if you want to save that one, too.
I mean, it's like Grease the Not Musical.
Kind of.
What year do they think it is?
The reason that everyone wants to wedgie Brandon is that they remember all the times he slammed
him. And
they
do wedgie him, I would like to add. Like, I believe he is suspended by his underpants.
Does he?
So, yay.
Okay. They remember all the times as a sports editor that he slammed them in the blaze. And they descend on him. Brandon calls out to Steve for help, but Steve just joins them. And then finally the coach comes in and clip 16.
All right, people, you know the drill. Shower up, towel off, and go home.
It's impossible to have a sports storyline in the show that's not totally homoerotic. That's why I clipped that. Anyway, later, Brandon tells Andrea that he went to the coach's office to talk about trying out for the team. He's not sure he should because it wouldn't be ethical. Then she mentions some guy who, I guess, is on the Atlanta Falcons and is also a sports commentator on NPR, because that's the same. The Blaze is the school newspaper. I don't know but if you're aware of this, but a lot of parents read it. So Brandon then says, the real reason it's not about his ethical qualms at all for once, it's actually this, clip 17.
Between working at the pit and the newspaper and a full class load, something's got to give.
So what you're saying is you don't want to write for the paper anymore?
I just don't know if I'm cut out to be a reporter anymore.
What are you talking about, Brandon? You're an excellent reporter.
But I don't like doing it. I don't like going up to a guy after he's just blown the big game and ask him how he feels. Or coming up with a new way to say they lost again. I'm a good athlete. I want a chance to prove it.
Oh, God, with the athlete.
Seriously.
Whatever.
Why don't you run briskly off a short pier? This dickhead.
Yeah. Fill your pockets with shot
puts
first. And also,
I mean, their journalistic ethics on this show are just... I mean, why get into it? But it's like this constantly shifting... It's whatever allows one of them to be self-righteous, and it's terrible. Also, it's the school paper.
It's the school paper.
I know a lot of parents read it.
They do. I wasn't sure if you knew that. Brandon mentions that John Griffin, a.k.a. Fluff Mullet, could take over writing his sports column. And Andrea says, maybe she'll take over. And Brandon jokingly says he can't imagine her in a locker room. And she's like, I can. Like, all right, calm it down, May Westerman. Then we get some B-roll where Jose Canseco Extra is back. He's in the visual aids.
Oh, I saw that.
And then it turns out
it's the little things.
Steve did get cut from the track teams. Brandon got his old position, in fact, and he's mad about it. When Dylan shows up to yell at Brandon about the car, Steve is pre-threatened that he's going to try out for sports too. But Dylan is all like, organized sports are too competitive for Dylan, surfer, blah, blah. And then we're in the gym. Burke, Phoebe's old boyfriend, groans way too loud doing chest flies. And then Brandon wants to take over on his machine, and we get this in clip 18.
You gonna do another set?
It's all yours, Walsh.
Thanks.
Although, I don't know. It's a mighty big machine for such a little tyke like you.
Gosh, you're right, Burke. Guess I should go in the bathroom and pump myself full of steroids so I can grow up to be a big bad lug like you.
Crickets.
I left all that silence on the so you can tell how long it is before anyone says anything. Like, you guys might want to work on the secretiveness about your secret steroid scheme, because none of you are very good at keeping it up, by the way. But then Coach Chapman comes back in, breaks the tension, and once everything is starting to break up, Tony Miller has some questions for Steve in clip 19.
We're being set up here, Sanders? Because if we are, you better come clean right now.
What are you talking about?
Well, guess.
Tony, he's not with the program. I haven't had a chance to talk to him. Look, Steve. In sports, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing, right? They don't give scholarships for coming in fourth place.
Tell me something I don't know.
So when Beverly kicked our butts this year, the people in this room vowed we had way too much pride to ever let that happen again. And that's when we formed the Power Pack. Kyle, how many seconds did you shave off your 2 miles since you joined the program?
Is it like the Mac Rangers?
And I'm ahead of my personal best by almost a foot.
And we can thank Mother's Little Helper for that.
Tic-tacs.
You guys are doing steroids?
It's not what you think. This is pure pharmaceutical quality. Controlled doses designed to peak in mid-May for the state relays in Sacramento. And then it's over, except for the cheering.
There's some real risk with that stuff. You talking about side effects?
Look, man, we're not about to take those kinds of chances. Mm-hmm. And if you stick with the program, you can't get hurt.
And with a little extra kick in your stride, you could be anchoring the relay team. That's what you want, isn't it, Sanders?
I really just want a letter and something before I graduate.
So, do you want to get with the program?
Oh, hell, I'll try anything once.
Okay, guys, I am not a sports person, but I did watch the Alex Gibney documentary about Lance Armstrong, so I feel like I know a little something about performance enhancements. Just kidding. I mean, I did watch that movie, but I'm not an expert. But I guess this is the kind of thing where, like, it's sort of like in Bring It On, where they don't have a captain who's an adult, where it's like it just would have slowed down the story to actually have that much realism in it. But
guy is 35. But other than that,
true. Yeah. No, but I just mean, like, they keep saying if you stick with the program, you won't get hurt. Like, there should be some mention about, like, we have a guy or whatever who's making sure that we don't take the wrong ones or too much or the wrong time or whatever. I don't know. They just,
I mean, and they don't come in a bottle.
No.
I don't.
They're,
I
mean, not like antihistamines.
That's like the only way you can't take them, I think. Like, again, what do I know? I know from being a baseball fan, but it really is like they put a bunch of Tic Tacs in a little prescription bottle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. These are definitely either steroids or someone's allergy medicine, one or the other, for sure. Anyway, it's also weird to me that the people in this, like, secret steroid cabal don't know who's in on it and who isn't, like, whatever. But anyway. So after they've onboarded Steve, they then tell him that he has to turn around and get Brandon in on it as well. Yet he also has to keep it quiet because everyone risks getting kicked off the team. So even though they already don't trust Brandon, it's now Steve's job to get him in on it, which is bizarre. Whatever. Burke distributes the pills and Steve takes it. And then later he's at the Peach Pit with Brandon, telling him he can't eat the junk food. Brandon apologizes for having aced him out of anything on the team, which was not his intention. Steve says, the season's young and this time next May, he's going to be eating Steve's dust, but will he? Let's hear the rest in clip number 20.
Steve, get real. Nobody from West Beverly is going to make the state finals. What about Cam? He's a long shot, but maybe. I just wish I knew what it was about me that gets him so jacked.
Well, that's what you get for being a reporter, Brandon.
Yeah, but I'm not anymore. I'm right there in the trenches with the rest of the team.
Give it time. You just got to get with the program.
I'm trying, but you saw what happened today in the weight room. I make one little joke about anabolic steroids, and Cahill and Miller shooting me the big stink eye.
That's because steroids are something you should never joke about.
Why not? I mean, unless you get tweaked on the stuff, what's the big deal?
The big deal is that steroids are a serious business.
Are you kidding? Steroids are a very dangerous business. Haven't you read any of the horror stories?
Look, there's a downside to everything. If you use it in a limited way, all they do is give you a little competitive edge.
Steve, don't take this the wrong way, but that's about the stupidest thing you ever said to me. They're hormones, man. They make you irrational and violent.
Oh, like that?
I love when he gets lines like that. Anyway, Steve is not convinced by this, even when Brandon goes on to mention liver disease and sterility. And as we heard at the beginning of the episode, he reads Brandon for his know-it-all-itude and storms out. But this conversation has given Brandon a lot to think about. And after hours, he lets Andrea in at the Peach Pit and tells her he's considering a story for 2 days, which a lot of parents read, on steroid use in the athletics department. He says it's not a story yet, just a hunch. And she asks if that means he's back on the paper, and he's like, did I ever leave? So they discuss it a little bit more in clip 21.
I can see it now. Excuse me, I'm writing a major expose that could potentially ruin your life. Can you pass me the baton and be my friend? So much for being just one of the guys.
Look, I know how you feel. I had to go undercover to break the story on the cafeteria food thing.
Sarah, do you want to comment on the cafeteria story coming up again?
I really... couldn't they have come up with something else to... some other story for her to relate to various situations? Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, like the fourth time that it's come up. And
well, yeah, it's the one like, that she was nominated for the award for.
Yeah. But still.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm just...
Yeah, I just... And I really wish we could read this story. Like, what exactly was she doing undercover? What did she expose
right.
in the cafeteria? I'm just imagining, since they shot at the same facility, the lunch lady from the earshot episode of Buffy, like, with her big box of rat poison... Like, was that it?
Yeah.
Also, there's a vampire slayer at your school, and also the lunch lady is a murderous heller?
I'm sure we talked about this when it came up in the episode with Grandma Rose, but, like, you know, we all have our fun about how old Andrea is, but, like, seriously, did a teenager get hired to work at a school cafeteria? Because presumably it wasn't the one at West Beverly, because all of those cafeteria ladies would have known who she was, like, from seeing her in line, presumably. There's just so many, like, questions underpinning these references to the cafeteria story that, like, you're right, they have to stop bringing it up because it just invites these questions Anyway. So later, Burke checks in with Steve on whether Brandon has agreed to join the program. Steve promises that Brandon is trustworthy. Burke wants to know what Steve told him, and Steve says nothing. Wait,
can we actually hear, do we have clip 22?
Oh, yes, we do. Absolutely.
Play because this is what I think of every time they bring up the cafeteria story.
Please.
You are a toy! You weren't a real Buzz Lightyear. You're an action figure. You are a child's plaything.
The great Mr. Tom Hanks, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, Andrea, you are a toyee. Calm down. I'm sorry. Please return to Roid Rage.
I wasn't sure when it was supposed to be inserted because it really could be anywhere. I assumed it was going to be about Brandon, actually. but anyway.
Also true. And now we have it nearby.
Anyway, Burke asks what Steve's told Brandon about the program. Steve lies that he didn't tell him anything. And Burke thinks that's good. They actually should keep it that way, he thinks. Later, Brandon is spotting Kyle as he does chest presses. Burke enters with Steve. Or no, sorry, the other way around. Kyle is spotting Brandon. Burke enters with Steve. Steve is very cold to Brandon's greeting. And Brandon starts in with his entrapment scheme. Roll smoothly in clip 23.
Oh, man, that was really weak. Oh, man, you're working hard. It'll happen for you.
Yeah, I just wish there was a way to make it happen sooner than later.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Oh, steady may win, but slow loses every time.
I hear you.
Is there anything you could recommend to boost my performance? Keep me into high gear?
Sure.
Eat right, get plenty of rest, and once every day, down a gallon of Geritol.
I always wondered what the secret of your success was.
There's no secrets on this team, Walsh. And there's no shortcuts either. What do I always say, Tony?
No pain, no gain.
See? If you were writing an article for the paper, you could quote me on that.
But I'm not writing an article for the paper, guys. I am one of your peers.
Also, like Burke invented no pain, no gain. Well, shut up, everyone in that room.
He might have. He is 53 years old.
He also invented Geritol. And he does look kind of like, what's his name? Shooter McGavin?
Oh, yeah. Christopher McDonald. He does.
Yeah, who, like, does the, he's like, Geritol's the sponsor of Quiz Show.
Yeah.
It's all a circle. It's all connected.
Anyway, later, Brandon gets a phone call and dramatically rolls into a nighttime meeting with Kyle. His deep throat, sorry, had to.
Yeah.
And then their conversation, given what we know about Kyle, which Brandon doesn't, is just like one double entendre after another. So let's start it off with clip 24.
Why are we being so secretive?
Believe me, Brandon, I don't like keeping secrets.
Don't you?
In my pants.
He goes on to clip 25.
I know what you were getting at. You want to know where you could score some steroids, right?
Yeah.
Come on, Brandon. You don't really want to get into that stuff, do you?
Hey, I just want a little competitive edge.
No, what you're really doing is an article for the Blaze, right?
How'd you figure that out?
I'm pretty good at reading people, especially when they got a secret to hide.
The library is open, am I right? anyway. It's almost like Kyle has some kind of radar for the secrets that Brandon is keeping. And
radar.
Good night. That's the end of the podcast. Just kidding. We will proceed, but we could have stopped there. That was pretty good. Kyle tells Brandon that a lot of people are taking steroids and that it's getting out of control. And he says he won't name names. Brandon promises anonymity. And then the next day, Steve finds Brandon and apologizes for their conversation at the Peach Pit the other night. He didn't want to get between Brandon and Burke, but he wishes they could go back to how things were before everyone got so competitive. And Brandon doesn't really let him off the hook at all because Brandon is
well. And once again, everyone's acting like this storyline did not begin 36 hours prior. Like, talk about getting out of control. This downward spiral was like a times a flat circle compressed timeline. It's completely crazy, but whatever. Teen soap.
Yeah. Seriously. So after Brandon hears all this, but does not really say he forgives Steve or that they're okay, get this shot. It's in the visual aids of Steve. Like after Brandon walks away to the Blaze office, he just like stands there for a second and then he runs down the hall for no reason that we see. He just hauls ass up the hall for no... It's completely strange and bizarre. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Andrea is impressed with Brandon's piece, of course. She's in love with him. But Brandon is having second thoughts about running it. Andrea says it's too late for that because they're on their way right now to Coach Chapman's office to confront him with it, I guess. But really, to show him the piece and get a quote from him. Brandon talks around his suspicion that Steve is part of the steroid cabal. So Andrea offers to be the point person on the story from here on out. I don't know what that means. Obviously, if the story is happening, everyone on the team is going to know he's the one who's been reporting it, but whatever. Brandon comes to the gym in civvies and finds Steve and warns him in clip 26.
Look, you didn't hear it from me, but the Blaze is publishing an article about steroid use in the athletic department.
Oh, my God!
If you got any roids in your locker, I suggest you ditch it real quick.
Okay.
This is steroidal acting.
This is also Steve, Burke completely overhears all of this because Steve is the last person that you should let into your steroid Tong Dean or whatever. Later, the coach gathers everyone who's on any sport at the school, apparently, out on the lawn or whatever.
And then Andrea is there to witness this.
Thank
like,
you!
Why?
Why? Why is she there? She's like 2 feet away from him and let's play to clip 27 and we'll talk about it.
Believe me, gentlemen, if I had the resources at my disposal, each and every one of you would be standing in line in the bathroom with a plastic cup in your hand.
Also, I want to test you for steroids.
But testing for steroids is not a practical option, and it's not going to solve the problem
or if legal.
There is indeed a problem.
So yes, as we said, Andrea is standing there right next to him being like, and here is the target for all of your juiced up rage. This
looking
tiny
totally
woman.
Hangdog.
Yes.
Oh, God.
It's insane.
I mean, she always looks hangdog, but whatever.
She does. There's no reason for her to be there. Or for him to tell them that there's a story coming in the Blaze. Like, all of this is very weird and probably not factually accurate to what would actually happen in this situation. But anyway, the coach calls off the practice, threatens to forfeit the whole season, and then leaves Andrea there to probably get intimidated by all these guys who are glaring at her. But then Miller and Burke and some of the others catch up to Steve because they assume he's the narc. And then they all agree, as long as everyone just stays cool, they'll be fine. Because as the coach has just said, he can't do anything and isn't going to. So Burke hopes that Steve is telling the truth. And Miller says that Brandon should watch his back. And Steve tells Kyle he has to believe that Steve didn't say anything. And Kyle does, because, you know, he did. There's a scene for no reason of Brandon asking if Dylan asking Brandon if he's enjoying being on the track team, and Brandon mysteriously saying it's not what he expected. Like, no one cares. And then
there's a lot of running. Shut up.
Brandon is pulling up the peach pit as Kelly is coming out with pies. She comments that her mom has been on a rampage lately.
Foreshadowing show.
Yep. And then later, Steve shows up when Brandon's in the back room. He wants to discuss the situation, but, clip 28.
Steve, what are you doing here in the peach pit?
We know you're at the peach pit. He knows it's at the peach pit. He's taking steroids, not euphoria. He knows where he is.
Also, why are you here at the Peach Pit? Because I'm here every day, just like everyone in the cast. We practically live here.
We have Navy bunks in the walk-in fridge.
Yeah.
We lie on the shredded lettuce and tell ghost stories. What? That line is just so weird. It's so soapy that it's like, hey, Steve, my friend, what are you doing at this location?
Yeah, like as if we would see the back room and be like, where the fuck are they? Like, Brandon's standing there in his uniform shirt. Like, we get it.
Like, oh my God, they're in Vietnam. No. Obviously in the back room. Whatever. Anyway.
So, Brandon's crazy eyes are at like DEFCON -3 as he assumes that Steve is involved in this whole steroid situation and asks, clip 29.
How deep are you into it? I just started a cycle. It's no biggie.
It's true. It's no biggie. Just, you know, wear some baggy pants, be comfortable, get a hot water bottle. It's really no biggie to start a cycle. Joke.
Jesus.
However, Steve adds, clip 30.
But when I read the pamphlet the coach handed out, I decided it definitely wasn't worth it.
That's some pamphlet. How many folds were in that bad boy for it to be so convincing to Steve?
Oh, the "so you're taking anabolic steroids" pamphlet. I love that one. Is that the one with a little froggy on the front?
So Steve is starting to go a little crazy and tells Brandon that they need Andrea to write something that says that Steve is not the source. Brandon says that they can't do that. Steve is upset that protecting a news source is more important than protecting a friend, and also says, clip 31.
She's in love with you, man. She'll do anything you ask her to do, except compromise the identity of a news source.
So there's the ethics again. They're a little elastic, but whatever. So Steve is very upset. He tries to leave. Brandon tries to stop him. Steve basically picks him up bodily and throws him into the fridge. If you think I did not make a gif of that, you don't know me at all.
Oh.
It's great.
Steroids. Steroids. Steroids.
Then he tells Brandon that they're done being friends. And then clip 32 happens.
We ordered pecan and they gave us boysenberry.
That's the music that plays anytime you get the wrong pie. What happens when the pie says not pecan?
Dick.
So ridiculous, yet awesome. I want to believe that was intentional. I don't, but I want to believe it was. Like the disconnect between the super dramatic music and the pie chicken. God. Anyway.
Well, and Jenny Garth sort of is like not completely committed to this. Like she's sort of, you can sort of see her eyes shift like just off camera. Like,
seriously,
what?
Is this? Oh, that wasn't just a, okay.
Can we cut? Oh.
Yeah. So she saw all of that and probably overheard a lot of it, and which is why the next time we see her, she's finding Kyle at the track. She wants to know what's going on with the track team. She's heard rumors and he's very cagey. She says she's heard that some guys are accusing Steve of being the source. Kyle knows that is the suspicion that some people have. He wants to know what she wants to know. She would like to know why someone would start taking steroids. And he mentions, you know, to get a hard body, like enough already with this Kyle double entendres. But she asks Kyle to clear Steve's name and sticks up for Steve, despite his being very cold and jealous of Kyle, which is more than he deserves, probably. And later, Kyle watches as Steve begs Andrea in the hallway to clear his name over this steroid story. And then Burke shows up because he wants to copy Kyle's Spanish homework. And why not? Burke is repeating the 12th grade for the 15th time. Later, Dylan sees Steve fighting with Andrea. Dylan doesn't know what's going on. Steve characterizes the situation as a steroid witch hunt by Brandon and Andrea. And Dylan has some thoughts on steroids in clip 30.
Steroids. What's the whole shrink of gonads, man?
I want to thank the champion who got the word gonads into a teen drama in the year 1992, because it can't have been easy.
Oh,
so good.
Is this a part where I tell my dad's gonad story?
Yes.
Okay. This was in the 1950s, P.S.
Let me just stop you before you get into it. There's no wrong time to tell a story called My Dad's Gonad Story.
Dun, dun, dun. It's not about my dad's actual gonads, thank God. We're not that kind of family. When he was playing intramural basketball as a high school lad in 1958, his friend Steve Sobel, the NFL films guy, as it turns out, who was hilarious. He was like my favorite guy at my dad's high school reunions when we were kids, because he didn't talk to us like we were kids. He just thought we were adults and cursed in front of us and stuff like that.
Awesome.
This guy came up with the idea of calling their intramural basketball team, the Nads, so that when people were cheering for them, they would be saying, go Nads. And people did not catch on for like a year. It was the 50s, and people were very slow to get it. But yeah, they would like make little poster board signs and give them to like girls from the other, from the like sister school. And they were just waving these signs that said, go Nads. And my grandmother was like, you little shits.
That is amazing. God bless
you,
Dad.
My dad is kind of a squeef. Anyway, let's wrap this up.
So Miller and Burke can tell that the walls are closing in on them. They flip shit in the gym. Literally, they're like throwing weights around because they're on steroids. And then Burke in his cropped sweatshirt and Miller approach Steve to take a walk. Steve knows this is not going to be good. And outside, they ask him a favor, and it is that if he's a team player, he's going to take the fall for all of this business because the coach won't punish him. And Steve resists, and Brandon shows up at this point and yells at them impotently, even more impotently than usual because they're all giant and they're on steroids. and then finally, Kyle, who's also there, tells them to stop and admits that he was the rat, and our final clip occurs.
It's me, guys. I'm the one you want to kill.
Don't blow this, Kyle.
I can't keep living a lie, man. It's me listening to you.
I mean, this is intentional for sure, even if the pie moment wasn't. Like, it's every single thing he says.
Oh, Kyle.
Anyway.
And we did see him again.
Do we? Does he come back?
Yeah, I think he's in one more episode.
Oh, maybe. I don't recall. I'm sure you're right. But Brandon observes all
Burke
of this.
Burke died of old age 10 minutes after the episode completed filming.
Brandon watches this happen and nods smugly in the Brandonist way. And finally, the button on this storyline is Brandon gossiping to Kelly and Steve about how scary it was. It says he's not going to write about it after all. No one knows what's going to happen, but apparently no one's going to get kicked out of school. But the track team is probably going to suck, which is, in my experience, just means it's as crappy as all of the other West Beverly sports teams. And then Kelly goes to call Kyle, and maybe she sees him again, but not for the next several episodes at least. And that's how steroids came and left on Beverly Hills 90210. They definitely never saw Burke again. I know he's not in it, but Miller, of course, has an important role in future.
Michael Cudlitz, who turned out really cute after he got rid of that 90s flat top and started out in the, like, as a grip or a lighting engineer on the show.
Yep. And now is Abraham on The Walking Dead. So good job, that guy. Let's wrap it up. Most valuable player.
Steroids, motherfucker.
Yeah, steroids. I mean,
they got Brandon wanged into the walk-in fridge. I'm with it.
They did. Honorable mention to Richard Simmons for his pivotal role in this episode and his yes. sweat to the oldies. Gonads?
Gonads.
Gonads.
Brandon.
Yeah, Brandon. No wonder those guys don't like you. Now we have a new sound clip to introduce the Curious Parker Challenge.
That's the old one.
Yep. 5 ways from this episode that Brandon could have ended up dead. Knocked out and get a brain bleed from being thrown into the walk-in freezer.
Internal bleeding from the wedgie he did receive.
crushed by weight in the gym.
Crushed by Tony Miller under the bleachers.
Crushed by hat, because he's tidy. Just put the wrong hat on, and that's it for Brandon Walsh.
Or stabbed in the eye by Andrea.
Yeah, with a pen. Or the linotype machine.
Speaking of Andrea, next time on Again With This, it's Feliz Virginidad when Andrea gets into a rubber match with Donna's mom over condom distribution, and Brenda parks her pregnancy scare on Front Street, and Dylan Garbo is not happy about it. You can see the visual aids and all of our rude commentary on that, other episodes of 90210, and many other fine television programs at previously.tv. You can can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at PreviouslyTV. You can follow me on Twitter at Tomato Nation, my esteemed colleague Tara at Tara Ariano, and our fine producer Dave at Glark. We'll see you next time.
Wedgie. Hey, come on, guys. Wedgie.